Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Life After Life by Raymond A. Moody Jr. is a landmark work in popular psychology and spirituality that helped bring near-death experiences into mainstream discussion. First published in the 1970s, the book draws on Moody's interviews with a large number of people who were declared clinically dead or close to death and later revived. Rather than presenting a laboratory study or statistical survey, Moody offers a qualitative portrait of what these individuals report. Looking for recurring features that appear across different backgrounds and beliefs, he organizes accounts into a recognizable sequence of elements such as profound peace, separation from the body, movement through darkness or a tunnel, encounters with a bright light, and meetings with deceased relatives or other presences. Moody also anticipates skepticism and addresses alternative explanations while arguing that the consistency and transformative impact of the reports deserve careful attention. The book aims to reduce fear of death and encourage more open, humane conversations about dying, grief, and meaning. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a pattern of recurring elements in near-death experiences. A central contribution of Life After Life is Moody's effort to identify common features reported by people who came close to death and were resuscitated. He does not claim that every person experiences the same sequence or that each element is always present. Instead, he presents a composite picture built from multiple testimonies. Readers encounter descriptions that recur across many accounts, including an initial sense of peace, a perception of leaving the physical body and observing events from outside it, and movement through a dark region sometimes described as a tunnel. Many individuals describe encountering an intense light that feels intelligent or comforting, followed by a sense of communication that can be wordless yet vivid. Some report meeting deceased loved ones or other figures they interpret through their own cultural or religious lens. By organizing these motifs, Moody provides a vocabulary for a phenomenon that had often been private, dismissed, or described only in isolated anecdotes. This structure also sets up the book's larger question whether the repeated similarities point to a shared psychological and physiological process, a spiritual reality, or some combination that challenges simple explanations. Secondly, interview-based inquiry and the limits of anecdotal evidence. Moody approaches his subject through interviews and case narratives, treating near-death experiences as human reports that can be gathered, compared, and analyzed for themes. This method gives the book its immediacy and emotional force because the reader hears how ordinary people interpret extraordinary moments. At the same time, the approach brings clear limitations that Moody acknowledges and that critics emphasize. Memories can be influenced by stress, medication, expectations, and the passage of time. Accounts also depend on what experiencers are willing or able to describe, and some may shape their stories in response to cultural stories about death. Moody does not present controlled experiments or statistical tests, and the book is not designed as a medical paper. Instead, it is an attempt to open a serious conversation, proposing that the reports are consistent enough to merit study rather than reflexive dismissal. This balance between careful listening and the lack of hard verification becomes one of the most important intellectual tensions in the book. Readers are invited to weigh the human evidence on its own terms, and to notice both its power and its vulnerabilities. Thirdly, how near-death experiences reshape attitudes toward death and living. Beyond cataloging phenomena, Life After Life focuses on what the experiences do to people afterward. Many experiencers describe a reduced fear of death, sometimes paired with a stronger sense of purpose and an increased appreciation for relationships. The book portrays these changes as lasting rather than momentary excitement. Moody emphasizes that the experiences are often described as deeply positive, even when the person had no prior expectation of an afterlife or did not hold strong religious beliefs. This theme matters because it shifts the discussion from proving metaphysical claims to observing real-world consequences, how a brush with death can affect values, priorities, and emotional outlook. Moody also highlights the difficulty many experiencers face when trying to talk about what happened. They may fear ridicule or feel that ordinary language cannot capture the event, especially in cultures that avoid discussing dying. By presenting multiple voices, the book normalizes these reports and encourages more compassionate listening from families and clinicians. Whether readers accept the experiences as glimpses of an afterlife or as extraordinary states of consciousness, the reported transformations become a practical takeaway contemplating mortality can clarify what people choose to do with their remaining life. Fourthly, a bridge between medical settings and spiritual questions. Life After Life sits at an intersection where hospital realities meet age-old questions about the soul, survival, and meaning. The accounts often begin in medical crisis, involving accidents, illness, or procedures where resuscitation is attempted. Moody is interested in how experiences emerge in these contexts and how people interpret them afterward. The book does not present a single doctrine. Instead, it shows that experiencers frequently use spiritual language, yet their interpretations vary and are shaped by personal background. This makes the work accessible to readers who are religious, spiritual but not affiliated, or unsure. Moody frames the topic as worthy of respectful investigation, suggesting that medicine and psychology should be able to discuss what patients report without embarrassment or automatic pathologizing. At the same time, he does not reduce the experiences to purely theological claims. He treats them as data points in a bigger inquiry about consciousness, dying, and what can be known. This bridging role helps explain the book's historical impact. It gave a broad public permission to talk about near-death experiences as more than superstition, while also challenging strictly material explanations to account for the recurring structure and the intensity of the reports. Lastly, skepticism, alternative explanations, and why the debate persists. Moody anticipates that many readers will ask whether near-death experiences can be explained without appealing to an afterlife. Throughout the book, he raises questions about interpretation and addresses common skeptical reactions. Alternative explanations often include the effects of oxygen deprivation, medication, anesthesia, psychological defense mechanisms, or culturally learned imagery around death. Critics have also argued that without controlled conditions and quantitative analysis, conclusions about survival beyond bodily death cannot be established. The book does not resolve these disputes, and it does not pretend to offer final proof in the scientific sense. Its lasting importance is that it frames the debate clearly and invites further research rather than closing the case. Moody's argument relies heavily on the consistency and clarity of testimonies and on the meaningful changes people report afterward. For sympathetic readers, this coherence suggests a phenomenon not easily dismissed. For skeptical readers, the same coherence can be interpreted as a shared human response to crisis and expectation. The persistence of debate is therefore part of the book's legacy. It helped create a public category for near-death experiences and set the terms for later work, including more methodologically rigorous studies and continued philosophical arguments about what subjective experience can and cannot demonstrate. In conclusion, Life After Life is best read as a foundational map of near-death experience reports rather than as a final verdict on the afterlife. Readers who will gain the most include clinicians and counselors who want to understand what some patients describe after resuscitation, as well as general readers who are curious about death, consciousness, and how extraordinary experiences shape human values. Spiritual seekers may find comfort in the repeated themes of peace and continuity, while skeptics may appreciate that the book lays out the claims plainly enough to evaluate and challenge them. The practical benefit is not limited to metaphysical belief. By bringing taboo experiences into public conversation, the book can help families, caregivers, and individuals speak more openly about dying and grief, and it encourages careful listening to experiences that are often dismissed. What makes Moody's work stand out in its category is its historical role and its organizing clarity. Later books may offer larger datasets, medical hypotheses, or stronger argumentative frameworks. But Life After Life remains distinctive for introducing a shared vocabulary and for treating personal testimony as a serious starting point for inquiry. It is a useful entry point into the broader literature on near-death experiences and the questions they raise about mind and mortality. If you would like to support Raymond Moody, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.